Hello, everyone. Today we're going to be looking at an article on The Economist, which takes a crack at Gamergate. Unfortunately, they get quite a bit wrong, and they try to lump in Gamergate with some of the worst people on Earth. I believe that there are a lot of ethical violations in this article, and things that are just simply untrue. I'm actually a subscriber to The Economist. People have recommended them to me from the left and the right, saying that they're a pretty good and solid news source. And I wanted to try them out, so I subscribed recently. And, if this is going to be the quality of the work that they put out, then I probably won't renew my subscription. We'll see, but suffice to say, I'm not too impressed with this article, and I'm not the only subscriber who isn't too impressed with the article. Another subscriber to The Economist posted this on Twitter: "The Economist has made me so sad. We were not white men. We included many women, minorities, LGBT, and disabled people within Gamergate." All right, so let's dig into the article and focus on the ethical violations and misconceptions about Gamergate. A few months after the Euromaidan protests brought down Mr. Yanukovych, a less widely noticed story provided a more disturbing insight into the political uses of social media. In August 2014, Aaron Joni, a computer scientist in America, published a long, rambling blog post about his relationship with Zoe Quinn, a computer game developer, appearing to imply that she had slept with a journalist to get favorable coverage of her new game, Depression Quest. The post was the epicenter of Gamergate, a misogynistic campaign in which mostly white men, keen to bolster each other's egos, let rip against feminists and all other social justice warriors that they despised in the world of gaming and beyond. According to some estimates, more than 2 million messages with the hashtag Gamergate were sent in September and October 2014. Okay, so where to even begin? First of all, the Zoe post is largely irrelevant to Gamergate. And two, Aaron Joni never accused Zoe Quinn of sleeping with games journalists for positive coverage. In fact, he doesn't really talk about the journalism aspect of it at all, other than mentioning that Nathan Grayson is one of the people she cheated on him with. And you know what? Who cares, right? Under normal circumstances, this is nobody's business. Why should anybody care if people are cheating on each other? That's between the people involved. That's between Zoe Quinn and Aaron Joni and the people she cheated on him with. It shouldn't really be relevant, right? But when Nathan Grayson is a writer for Kotaku and formerly Rock Paper Shotgun, and he's releasing articles promoting her work, then it becomes questionable. Then it becomes a potential conflict of interest, an ethical violation if you do not disclose this. It is unethical for somebody to promote the work of their friends without disclosing that. You're supposed to be a journalist. You're supposed to be someone who is honest and who has integrity, somebody who is supposed to inform consumers about what products to buy. You're supposed to be a watchdog for the consumer, but how can the consumers trust the watchdog if they're taking money to promote games, or if they're promoting the work of their friends or people they have personal relationships with? How can people trust the watchdog? Who watches the watchman? And I'm not saying that Zoe Quinn was sleeping with him just to get positive coverage. Maybe she was, maybe she wasn't, but that's speculation. It could very well be possible that they had a close friendship that turned intimate, and Nathan Grayson, either during the period of friendship or during the period of intimacy, wrote an article for Rock Paper Shotgun promoting her work over 49 others. He promoted her game over 49 other games and singled it out in a number of ways in the article. And he did not disclose his relationship or his friendship with Zoe Quinn. Whether that was a quid pro quo agreement beforehand, or whether it was just Nathan Grayson being sloppy, either way, it is an ethical violation, and the evidence for this is quite damning. If you want to see the evidence for yourself, which if you're writing about this, I should hope you do, then I suggest you take a look at my video, "Myth Debunked: Nathan Grayson Did Nothing Wrong." This video covers how Nathan Grayson behaved unethically in his promotion of Zoe Quinn's work. I also provide sources for every single thing that I cite in the video, so you can see for yourself that the evidence is there. These are not fake screenshots. This is all documented evidence. You also say that Gamergate is a misogynistic campaign, but that's not true at all. We don't dislike Nathan Grayson because he's a man. We don't dislike Zoe Quinn because she's a woman. Their gender is and should be irrelevant. We believe in treating people equally, treating others as we wish to be treated. And people, regardless of whether they're a man or a woman, whether they're white or black or Christian or Jewish or Muslim or whatever they happen to be, they should be treated as individuals. That's what we believe in. And you later go on to say that Gamergate is mostly composed of white men. But there are tons of women and minorities in Gamergate. This is just frankly untrue. Take a look at the old Not Your Shield videos. Take a look at who the biggest people in the hashtag are. The most retweeted person in all of Gamergate is almost certainly Mombot, a Japanese woman. Look at who represented Gamergate at various panels. At the Society of Professional Journalists Airplay event, we sent Ash Skow, a female journalist for the Washington Examiner, to represent Gamergate, among others. Look at who represented Gamergate at the SavePoint event at South by Southwest. It was Mercedes Carrera. And really, all you have to do is look at the hashtag. All you have to do is talk to people. All you have to do is look into this and engage with people and find out who these people are and what they believe in. It's not that hard. If Gamergate is a movement for white men and by white men, then how do you explain all these people who support Gamergate and who aren't white men? And also, why should their race or gender matter? Why should it matter if someone is white or if somebody is black? Why should it matter if somebody is a man or a woman? These things should be irrelevant. So let's take a look at one of the Not Your Shield videos, shall we?
I support Gamergate. I write a blog about feminism and video games. I don't need anybody to speak for me. I am not your shield, and I am not a sock.
I'm the mother of two neuroatypical gamers. I support Gamergate and Not Your Shield because I will not tolerate the vilification of autistic or neuroatypical traits in gaming press and mainstream media. Social awkwardness is not a crime.
Hello, my name is Julie, and I support Gamergate because I support journalistic integrity. For supporting Gamergate, I have been called names, harassed, and doxxed.
Hello, Not Your Shield deniers. My name is Thorn, and the reason I joined Gamergate and Not Your Shield is that on August 28th, my Facebook feed filled with gamer hate.
Hi, my name is Lauren. I'm a gamer, and I'm not your shield. I don't hate men. I don't hate women. I hate unethical journalism, and I want to see it gone.
My name is Liz. I am a confirmed pro Gamergate sock puppet account created by 4chan. And as a result, I have received threats of death, violence, and doxing. And I am still not your shield.
I believe that integrity is important in journalism, which is why I support Gamergate.
Hey, I used to be a gamer, and probably am not anymore. But that doesn't change the fact that when there's corruption in the media's and ableization of a good cause, all of that based on lies and hypocrisy, it's a big no-no for me. That's why I support Gamergate. My friends. Bye.
I support Gamergate because I want reviewers to tell me to buy a game because it's good, not because their developer friend made it.
My name is Alice. I'm a transgender girl, and I support Gamergate.
I'm disgusted by the current state of corruption and bias in gaming journalism, and I won't be silenced just because the combination of my gender and my opinion doesn't match the media narrative.
Gamergate is what has resulted from an already untrusted games press deciding to aggressively attack, dehumanize, and censor its already marginalized readers.
I'm Gwen.
I'm Altaria. Gaming saved our lives. Gaming was there for us when no one else was. Gaming brought the two of us together. Gaming doesn't make us bad people. We support the consumer revolt that is Gamergate.
My name is Katie, and I stand with Gamergate because it's ridiculous to blame an entire group of people for the actions of a few bad eggs.
I support Gamergate because I'm against corruption, lack of transparency, and unethical behavior from game journalism. I'm tired of the media misrepresenting me.
Hello, Gamergate. I'm Thorn Blossom's husband. I support Gamergate because the Guardian told me that I had an imaginary girlfriend.
I am not your shield, and my friends are not your scapegoat to mask the unfair dismissal of Alistair Pinsoff for exposing the fraud of a Destructoid contributor.
Hi, I'm Queenie Martha. I'm a woman, and I'm a gamer, and I'm pro-Gamergate.
What's going on? I'm a minority gamer, and I support Gamergate because I'm tired of these journalists and activists pretending I don't exist because I don't support their narratives or their agendas, and I'm not their shield.
30-year-old, gay, disabled man, and just because I express an opinion different than yours, I am fake.
Hello, social justice warriors. My name is George Lee. I am a Chinese American, and I support Gamergate. I am not your shield, so you can engage in corruption, collusion, and censorship against my fellow gamers.
I'm disabled. I'm a gamer. Don't use me as a shield to deflect criticism.
I'm Emma. I am 18 years old, and I believe in the beauty of gaming, in journalistic integrity, and the power Gamergate has to change things for the better. And that is why I am not your shield.
Hi, I'm a supporter of Not Your Shield. Seeing how these so-called social justice warriors treat anyone they disagree with, even slightly, is sickening, and I want nothing to do with them.
My name is Lily. I'm a Chinese American, a UC student, and this is not a war on women. This is about ethics and journalism. I'm not your shield.
It is claimed that Gamergate isn't about ethics, but rather silencing the voice of women in the gaming industry. Well, I am a female gamer, and for the first time in my life I believe my voice has been snuffed out. I don't need men or women to tell me what my opinions are, or what their value is. I believe in Gamergate. I support the movement for fair and ethical journalism. I am against the harassment the fine young capitalists received.
My name is Nicholas Taylor, and I support Gamergate. Because as a video games journalist myself, I stand for ethics and against corruption within the field I've chosen to work.
Hello, my name is Carl. I've been a gamer for most of my life. I've had enough from so-called game journalists slandering our hobby and portraying us as misogynists for disagreeing with them. This is why I support Gamergate.
I'm Navi Savvy Gamer. I'm pro-Gamergate and a supporter of hashtag NotYourShield. I have been accused of being a sock puppet account on multiple occasions, and I'm tired of people deciding what I should think because I'm a woman. I can make decisions on my own. Thank you.
These are real people, and they've got opinions who you may disagree with, and that's okay. They should be free to have those opinions. But they're not racist or sexist, and they're not white men, that's for sure. And in the article, you say that Gamergate has ripped into feminists and supposed social justice warriors, and there is a degree of truth to that. We do have a lot of disagreements with the social justice community, especially in games, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. People can have a variety of opinions on these topics, such as whether or not it is sexist to make a video game that has scantily clad female characters in it, or whether or not these games should be made at all. These are conversations that are had surrounding the Gamergate conversation and in the gaming community. And we disagree with the notion that there is anything wrong with making video games that have sexually drawn characters. But that doesn't mean you hate women. Even if we completely disagreed with, say, 80 or 90% of what modern feminism stands for, that would not mean that we're misogynists or that we hate women. Feminism does not represent all women. Feminism is a political ideology. It represents the people who support it. And opposing what some aspects of modern feminism promote does not mean that you hate women. It does not mean that you don't believe women should be treated equally, or that they should have the right to vote, or that they should have the right to own property, or anything along those lines. That just means that we have some disagreements with their political ideology. For some people, that's the idea that video games are harmful to society, or at least certain video game elements promote harm in the real world. For others, that's the idea that the patriarchy exists. Some people don't agree that you can classify society as a white supremacist patriarchy. For many people, such as myself, we would argue that the idea that society is a white supremacist patriarchy is ridiculous. We believe that, yes, society isn't perfect. There are things in our society that we could do better. But we also recognize that we live in the most egalitarian and the most free time in all of human history, and that is something that should be cherished. And that doesn't mean that we should turn a blind eye to problems in our society, or that we shouldn't try to do better. We absolutely should. But to characterize our society, and to characterize the United States as being a white supremacist patriarchy, is absurd. Most people aren't bigots. Most people aren't unreasonable. If there is an actual issue, an actual injustice going on, then come to the table and talk to people, and we can have a conversation about it. And if it's an actual injustice, then you'll have people, conservatives, liberals, libertarians, you'll have men, women, Republicans and Democrats coming to the table and saying, okay, yeah, that's wrong. How can we fix it? And that is a much better way to approach problems in our society than saying that half the country is racist or sexist, or that we live in a white supremacist country. The campaign used the entire spectrum of social media tools, videos, articles, and documents leaked to embarrass enemies, a practice known as doxing, were posted to YouTube and blogs. Twitter and Facebook circulated memes. Most people not directly involved were able to ignore it. Crucially, the mainstream media, when they noticed it, misinterpreted it. They took Gamergate to be a serious debate in which both sides deserved to be heard, rather than a right-wing bullying campaign. First of all, Gamergate does not and never has condemned harassment or doxing. Yes, we write articles. Yes, we make videos, but we're not doxing or harassing people. We're expressing an opinion. And if you disagree with that opinion, that's okay. You could respond to us. You could send us an email. You could engage in a debate. You could point out something that you think we got wrong. You could make a better argument. But that's not harassment. And if you look at the studies on Gamergate and supposed harassment, they don't back up what you're saying. A study by Women Action Media found that only 0.66% of Gamergate supporters had engaged in harassment, and they looked at over 9,800 accounts. Of the 9,844 accounts, only 65 of those accounts had engaged in harassment. And when a female gamer was doxxed, what did Gamergate do? Did we cheer it on? No, of course not. We condemned it. Because that's not something our community wants to be associated with, and even though there was no evidence that Gamergate was responsible for doxing Felicia Day, we still condemned it because this is not something that we support or we want to be associated with. And where are you getting this idea that Gamergate was treated fairly and neutrally in the media? There were a few articles on a few websites that did treat Gamergate fairly. That is true. However, the vast majority of the articles talking about Gamergate were completely one-sided and, in many cases, grossly unethical. They were pretty much the same as your article here. They did not present both sides. They did not even attempt to show that people might have a different perspective on this event. Yet there were tens of thousands of people who disagreed with this narrative that you're putting in this article. Tens of thousands of people think that you're completely off base here, and you're completely denying them the right to even defend themselves against heinous accusations. How is that fair? And as for Gamergate being right-wing, there have been a number of comprehensive surveys on the topic, and they all indicate that most Gamergate supporters are either left-leaning or libertarian. But with that being said, Gamergate is nonpartisan. We aren't about left-wing politics or right-wing politics. We're about making the gaming industry better. We're about ethics and games journalism and creative freedom. We don't care if you're a conservative or a liberal or a socialist or a capitalist. We care about who you are as an individual. We don't care what your economic views are or what your social views are. And if you are an actual racist or an actual sexist, then we don't want anything to do with you. That same aforementioned survey by Brad Glasgow also shows that most Gamergate supporters, or rather a plurality of Gamergate supporters, voted for Barack Obama, followed by people who didn't vote, and followed by Mitt Romney, and then Gary Johnson. In the United Kingdom, according to the Brad Glasgow survey, a plurality of Gamergate supporters in the United Kingdom did not vote. However, that was followed by the Liberal Democrats, then the Labour Party, then the Conservative Party, and finally the Green and UK Independence parties. When respondents to the Brad Glasgow survey were asked about specific political and social views, over 82% believe that humans have contributed to climate change. Over 84% have argued that minorities have as much of a chance to succeed as anybody else. Over 90% believe that marijuana should be legal. Over 64% believe that there should not be a death penalty. Over 94% believe that homosexuals should be allowed to get married. Over 66% believe that a man who transitions into a woman should be considered a woman. Over 90% believe that abortion should be legal. And over 77% believe that healthcare should be a public service provided by the government. Another survey, which I conducted across multiple Gamergate communities, shows that a plurality of Gamergate supporters at 19% identify as libertarian, followed by liberal, moderate, socialist, other, social democrat, progressive, green, and so on and so forth. That same survey shows that a majority of Gamergate supporters, 53%, identify as center-left, followed by center-right, center, far-left, apolitical, and finally far-right, with only 3%. On the issue of elections, a plurality of Gamergate supporters support the Democratic Party at 32%, followed by don't vote, libertarian, Republican, other, green, and finally constitution at 1%. In the United Kingdom, a plurality of Gamergate supporters did not vote, followed by the UK Independence Party at 18%, then the Labour Party, Liberal Democrats, Conservative Party, Scottish National Party, Green Party, so on and so forth. In Canada, a plurality of Gamergate supporters do not vote, followed by the New Democratic Party at 24%, then the Liberal Party, 15%, Conservative Party, 7%, Green Party, Libertarian Party, Bloc Quebecois, and other at 5%. In Germany, a plurality of Gamergate supporters did not vote, followed by the Pirate Party at 17%, the Left at 12%, the Social Democrats at 10%, the Christian Democratic Union at 8%, the Alliance Greens, Free Democratic Party, and finally the National Democratic Party at 5%. When asked about specific political and social issues, a majority of Gamergate supporters at 73% believe that abortion should be legal, with 18% believing it should be legal under extreme situations, and 5% believing that it should be illegal. On same-sex marriage, a vast majority of Gamergate supporters, 83%, believe that it should be legal, with 9% saying that civil unions should be legal but gay marriage should not, and 5% believing that neither gay marriage nor civil unions should be legal. On the topic of private firearms ownership, the Gamergate community is quite divided, with 50% supporting private firearms ownership with registration and licensing, 22% supporting firearms ownership without licensing or registration, 16% believe that firearms ownership should be allowed only under specific circumstances, 6% do not believe that gun ownership should be allowed whatsoever, with 3% being undecided, and another 3% believing that firearms ownership should be legal but not for handguns or semi-automatic guns. On the topic of transgenderism, 72% of Gamergate supporters believe in respecting the choices of trans people, 15% do not, and 13% are undecided. So it would seem that the claim that Gamergate is right-wing is without merit. But I would also say that despite being perhaps a majority left-wing, Gamergate is not left-wing either. It is nonpartisan. Looking at the role that social media have played in politics in the past couple of years, it is the fake news squalor of Gamergate, not the activist idealism of the Euromaidan, which seems to have set the tone. In Germany, the far-right Alternative for Germany party won 12.6% of parliamentary seats, in part because of fears and falsehoods spread on social media. such as the idea that Syrian refugees get better benefits than native Germans. In Kenya, weaponized online rumors and fake news have further eroded trust in the country's political system. Given that Gamergate is partially about ethics and games journalism, I think it's safe to say that we are opposed to fake news. And given that you're referring to Gamergate as right-wing and trying to paint it as a movement of white men who hate women, it would seem that if anything were fake news, it would be this article. In the mid-2000s, members of 4chan, a message board first used to share manga, anime, and pornography, started to explore new ways to manipulate nascent social media. They took particular pleasure in generating memes, funny images, often of cats, combined with a clever caption, a genre known as lolcats, which could spread like wildfire. They gamed online polls, such as the one organized by Time to find the world's most important people. Miss Boyd describes the ways in which such hacks turned political. On and around 4chan, groups which had mostly been excluded from the mainstream media, from white nationalists to white men's rights activists, developed the dark arts they would use to further their agendas. Gamergate was their coming out party. This is frankly ridiculous. First off, most men's rights activists aren't bad people. They've gotten a bad reputation from much of the media, and their reputation has been largely one-sided and unfair. They do have some legitimate grievances, and most of them don't hate women. Yes, there are some men's rights activists who are extremists and who do hate women, but they are a tiny minority. And much like Gamergate, they have been maligned by the press. As for Gamergate being a coming out party for white nationalists, all I have to say is this, and I think I say this on behalf of everyone in Gamergate, fuck Nazis and fuck dishonest media who compare us to Nazis. The problem here, The Economist, isn't that you disagree with Gamergate, that the author of this article disagrees with Gamergate. That's fine. You can have plenty of disagreements with us. You could criticize us. You could think that we don't understand ethics. You could think that our views on creative freedom are misguided. That's perfectly fine. But you can't say that we are a harassment campaign. You can't say that these Gamergaters hate women. You can't say those things. Those are not opinions. Those are statements of fact. And you have not provided any evidence to back it up. All you are doing is demonizing these people and spreading misinformation about them and only presenting one side of the story. If you wanted to be fair, in order to be honest, you could say, some have accused Gamergate of engaging in harassment and misogyny. Or you could say that some members of the Gamergate community have engaged in harassment, which is probably true. There have been tens of thousands of people involved with Gamergate, and a study shows that 0.66% of Gamergate supporters have engaged in harassment. So again, that's true. That's fair. But to only present one side of the story is dishonest. Anyway, thank you for watching. I hope The Economist decides to update this article and make it more fair, or put a disclaimer up, because, you know, I expected more from you. I did. Anyway, again, thanks for watching. If you want to have more conversations like this, head on over to GamergateForums.com. This is Netscape, signing off.